Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening, Rush Nation. The snow is falling all around us. However, there is a child upstairs trying to get some sleep, so I'm going to keep it as quiet as I can. Welcome to week 13, the second Bimageddon that we've had this year. I'm Rob. I'm by myself this evening to take you through our usual segments. Without further ado, let's get to it. It is Thursday Night Throwback. So, finally, a Thursday night football game that could outstrip a lot of other games in terms of entertainment this weekend. There was not a single punt in this game. The Seahawks traveled to Arlington, Texas to take on the Cowboys, and they put up a hell of a fight. Ultimately, though, they fell short in this game, and it wasn't for lack of trying. It ended up 41-35 to the Cowboys. A lot to talk about here, so let's look at quarterbacks first. Dak Prescott, 29 completions on 41 passes attempts, 299 yards, three touchdowns, one to CeeDee Lamb, one to Brandon Cooks, and one to Jake Ferguson, and 1 2-point conversion to Cooks as well. Some excellent plays in this game, some excellent moves to keep the Cowboys in it as well. I think highlights included getting out of what seemed to be a certain sack quite late on in this game, managed to curl himself away and get a pass off to Jalen Tolbert on the sideline. We also had the one where Tony Pollard also made the block. Dak waited for that time, and as Pollard got up, he just managed to dump the ball off to Pollard, and Pollard went for that first down. So some really important plays in this game. He almost got himself a touchdown as well. He almost got himself two touchdowns. One was brought back for a penalty for offensive holding, and he also got taken out at that two-yard line. However, he did still get seven carries on 23 yards, so a really productive performance from Dak, and still keeping up that performance as one of the top five quarterbacks, in my opinion, in terms of fantasy points. However, Geno Smith also had a humdinger of a game, and in one of our fantasy leagues, there was only 0.05 of a point split in their performances. 23 completions on 41 pass attempts for 334 yards and three touchdowns. There was an interception in there, which we'll come on to in a bit, but he also got a rushing touchdown as well, so two carries 6 yards and a rushing touchdown. Came down to the end of the game. As I said, not a single punt in this one, so there was a lot of going for it on fourth down, and unfortunately Geno just didn't convert as many as Dak did. So yeah, that he got turned up by defensive rushing. He wasn't able to find the targets and convert those throws, but an absolutely incredible game. I thought this was going to be a washout, and you know, the three touchdowns in the air and one on the ground from Geno, you know, just kept the Seahawks in it. Bit disappointing to see that he was unhappy at the end of the game. I think there's a lot to be taken away from this game, and it's a shame he didn't come away with a W. Offensively, there were some standout players on either side of the ball, and I doubt there's going to be a game for the rest of the week that saw such a good return for anyone who started the skilled position players in their fantasy matchups from this Thursday night game. Chief among them, DK Metcalf. He's had a hot and cold season. However, he caught a scorching game in this one. Three touchdowns on six receptions and 134 yards. Absolutely blistering performance, and it's going to be difficult to see if he ever, you know, gets this kind of performance again. There's a lot of pieces to be played, not just the end of the season, but next season as well. Jackson Smith and Jigda, who also joined the team this year, he caught the most Seahawks receptions. He got 62 yards off seven receptions, a nice return for him as well, considering he started out quite slowly. He's beginning to find himself being more incorporated into the offense here. Zach Charbonnet as well, he also totted up 60 yards and a touchdown on the ground off 19 carries, but his third quarter 39-yard reception was a big play in this game. It was actually caught 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage as well, so unfortunately he didn't get those 3 extra yards added on, and that set up one of DK Metcalf's touchdowns in the third quarter. The Dallas Cowboys, they matched them step for step, and so did their offensive players. CeeDee Lamb was back on form, picking up another touchdown and his sixth 100-yard game of the season. As I said earlier, there was also touchdowns for Jake Ferguson and Brandon Cooks through the air. Ferguson is starting to look like the big deal, and has done for a few weeks that Dak Prescott claimed him to be at the start of the year. There was a lot of talk from Dak about how Ferguson was fitting in here. Wasn't sure whether or not there was going to be this much efficiency after Dalton Schultz left, but Ferguson is looking brilliant. Six receptions on from his targets, 77 yards and that touchdown. And of course, Brandon Cooks is also hitting stride, that form at the right time. Tony Pollard got his third rushing touchdown in as many games. So some really productive players doing the business here. And of course, there's still room for the Cowboys kicker, Brandon Aubrey, to bag 4 field goals and 3 extra points. So kickers have mattered in this game as well. Defensively, the big scores did mean that there was a lot of yardage conceded on both sides of the ball. Both teams' defenses didn't manage to slow the ball down whatsoever. But the Seahawks did get quite a lot of sacks earlier in this game, 4 sacks. And then the Cowboys got one of their own, and Darren Bland picked up another interception. It wasn't a pick six, but it was still another important fantasy play if you play in IDP leagues as well. Yeah, he must have been an absolute steal this season. Let's move on to injury report. So biggest news, in my opinion, this week, and one certainly that a lot of fantasy drafters will be disappointed with if they picked up this player, Jonathan Taylor, is out for several weeks with a thumb injury that requires surgery. He didn't actually receive any receptions in the last game, and this might have been the reason why. So those who missed out on him for the first part of the season and then had to deal with the gradual ramp up in snaps and plays, they're now missing out on him again. And Zach Moss is back as RB1 for the Colts in this game, at least. Trey Sermon also stands to be the backup. Other running backs who have had question marks over their head: Aaron Jones did not practice on Thursday, and AJ Dillon has logged limited practices, so there's still unanswered questions in the Green Bay backfield for their Sunday night game against the Chiefs. They've also got Patrick Taylor, I think, is on IR. There's a few other players who they've got on their practice squads. James Robinson was here. He's come and gone. They're going to have to rely on whoever they've got in the practice squad now. Raheem Mostert and Devon Achan have both logged limited practices this week, so their status for the Dolphins game against the Commanders is up in the air. Jeff Wilson is standing by just in case, especially after Salvon Ahmed has gone into IR as well. Cleveland quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson has also been missing practices this week with concussions, so I'd expect Joe Flacco to come in here. This could help could be a help or a hindrance. To be honest, Joe is a veteran who might help boost fantasy numbers for those skill players slightly. However, in previous teams, certainly later on in his career, he hasn't done that much, which is why I said slightly. confirmed out this weekend, Dalton Schultz. He's been ruled out for the Texans against the Broncos. Brevin Jordan is the next man up here in this favorable matchup. And there have been other players who have logged limited practices this week, and they should be watched, including Tyreek Hill, Travis Etienne, Breece Hall, AJ Brown, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, and Devonta Smith. So virtually all of the skill players in the Philadelphia Eagles. One piece of good news is that Dallas Goedert has been back at training for the Eagles. So hopefully they get the tight end back at some point, maybe even this week. Let's have a look at weak points.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So, weakest against the quarterbacks this week, number one, the Washington Commanders, and they are playing the Miami Dolphins. Tua has been on and off the last few weeks. This is hopefully a nice bounce-back game for him. We know the Commanders can get beaten in the air, and Tua might be able to use his feet here as well. Second on the list, the Philadelphia Eagles. Quite surprising to see their name popping up in so many categories this year, especially after how well they did the previous season, but they're up against the San Francisco 49ers. So Brock Purdy has had some exquisite games. We'll call it exquisite games for the Niners this season. It's nice to have that safety blanket of CMC behind him, obviously, but this could be a game where Purdy shines, gets some fantasy points on the board for anyone who has got him in their lineups. And then third on the list, the Los Angeles Chargers. They're playing the New England Patriots, and it's difficult to tell who's going to be the starter here and if they're actually going to do well at all. Is it going to be Matt Jones? Is it going to be Mr. Zappi? Or perhaps Malik Cunningham is there as well. He's a bit of a utility player. He hasn't made the biggest of impacts when he's played, but he is a third option, one to consider maybe for the future. Weakest against running backs, we have got the Denver Broncos in first position. They are up against the Houston Texans. So this could be a backfield split here between Devin Singletary and Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce has just come back off an injury to his ankle, got very limited snaps in the first week back. So we might see his usage ramp up, but Devin Singletary has done a very decent job in his place whilst Damian's been on the sidelines. So could be a decent split here. The Arizona Cardinals, they are second on the list, and they come up against another split backfield in the Steelers. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren have been taking more or less even snaps. Warren saw a few more leading up to last week. Najee seemed to get a bit more of the ball once Matt Canada left the picture. Either way, there's really good opportunity here for both players to be offensively productive. And then the Panthers, they've dropped to third on this list after being first and second for quite a lot of weeks, which is great news for me as a Panthers fan. Potentially great news for the Panthers' defense if they're actually getting better against running backs. They are playing the Bucs as well, who haven't been the most efficient with the ball. And Rashad White has been seeing some really good games with receptions. He did have a good run return last week. I think he got maybe over, 100 yards exactly, actually. And yeah, the Panthers seem to be on a bit of a mini resurgence in defending against this. So potentially one to watch here as well. Weakest against wide receivers, we have got the Eagles in first. And they, like I said, playing the Niners. So that's Deebo Samuel. That's Brandon Ayuk looking for good games. Juwan Jennings is featuring there as well. I think we've got Ronnie Bell as part of that backup group. Keep an eye out for some of those to do well here, especially if the secondary continues to get beaten up. Also, make sure you keep an eye on Mr. Leonard, who got released by the Colts and has been entertained by the Eagles to be one of the linebackers joining that team. Second on the list is the Commanders, and they are playing the Dolphins. So again, that combination of Hill and Waddle could be really lethal here. Hill has said he's pushing for 2,000 yards a season, and this is a matchup where he could continue to add to that number that he's got already. And then you've got Braxton Berrios, who's also in the background as well. Third on the list is the Los Angeles Chargers. They are playing the Pats. Now, the Pats have got a large group of middling players, but players who have stood out this year at one point or another. You've got Pop Douglas, you've got Devontae Parker, and then potentially you've got Juju Smith-Schuster and Tyquan Thornton just lagging behind, making bit plays. So quite a lot to choose from there. No real alpha who's going to get points here. I would probably say it would be Douglas if it was going to be anybody. Weakest against tight ends. We've already mentioned that Dalton Schultz is out this weekend. The Denver Broncos, who the Texans are playing, are first on this list. So Brevin Jordan is next in line. He has got the best matchup out of anybody in terms of fantasy points conceded to the opposition. So can Brevin Jordan get points against the Broncos here? We can only speculate. And hopefully the numbers will back it up. Second on the list, the Cincinnati Bengals. They are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Evan Engram hasn't seen the heights that he got last year, but he has been ticking on very nicely, getting a fair share of receptions and yards and a few touchdowns dotted in and out here. Could Engram get a nice rise up in his production in this game? And then the Texans, you know, the Texans Broncos are playing each other on this list. Although it is notable saying that the Broncos hasn't had a tight end who's received more than 2 targets since week 7. So that might rule out Adam Trautman for doing well here. So let's move a bit further down the list for tight ends. Next team not on a bye is the Atlanta Falcons. They are 5th and they are playing the New York Jets. Tyler Conklin has seen a decent share in this game, particularly with the new quarterback, Tim Boyle, who has come in. So this might be a more favourable option than putting Adam Trautman in. However, knowing my luck, Adam Trautman will have the game of his life in this one and Conklin will go injured in the first quarter. But it's one to keep an eye on. Let's move on to our final segment, which is Flex of the Week. So last week we said 2 Baltimore players who both did start. I went for Odell Beckham and Lewis went for Isaiah Likely. There was a it was a better result for Lewis here. So Isaiah Likely came up with slightly more yards than Odell did. They both got, I believe, 4 receptions, but Likely got the edge on the yards. They came in about 8.5 points, which obviously is a bit more disappointing, especially when you've got a full complement of teams to choose from. However, we're moving on to week 13 now when we have 6 teams unavailable. That is the Vikings, the Giants, the Raiders, the Bears, the Bills, and the Ravens. So a lot of fantasy-relevant players are not included in this week. So not a lot not to choose from either in terms of Flex of the Week. However, I have gone for Taysom Hill playing against the Lions. The Lions have been statistically poor against the pass this last month, and the Saints have been statistically poor in offense. So this is an opportunity for them to shake things up a little bit and get utility men like Taysom Hill more involved. He's got rushing ability, he's got passing ability, and we've seen he's got receiving ability as well, and it's already broken records this year. And the Saints are up against a reeling Lions team who got taught a Thanksgiving lesson. It would be, frankly, malpractice to not to get Hill more involved in this game because he has got the skills and let's get him more involved. Let's get this Flex of the Week up to double figures here. So that is all that we've got time for today. That's all I've got to talk to you about. But make sure you are checking us out on podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify. This video is also going out on Twitter and YouTube as well, or X. I will be back solo next week for the final round of bye weeks. Until then, keep pushing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.